Hello and welcome everybody to another Naturopath collaboration session. Today we have the lovely Jasmine Zula Beaver. She is a hypnotherapist with, I would say, like a dozen pluses after her name because she has so many different qualifications in things like psychology and human behavior and all these wonderful ways that she can help us break through our old habits and behavioral patterns. So welcome and so beautiful to have you here, Jasmine.
Thank you. I really appreciate being on your podcast.
Yes. So let's start with sharing your story. I'd love to hear where you've come from and the sorts of things that you've done with your life. It's a really interesting story.
The story for me on my venture going to hypnotherapy, that is that I've always had a big imagination. You know, I was that kid that would just lie amongst the grass and look at the sky and daydream all day. So I've got a very active and vivid imagination. And with that, I learned from a young age that the power of my imagination, because it was so active, I used to have the wildest, you know, the wildest days. And I learned that if I could see it, I'd probably create it and I can do it. And that's where my natural ability to meditate came along. No one taught me to meditate. I learned that I was a natural meditator from the age of 10 years old. That was my peaceful place. It was a place where I would just spend time on my own and just create thoughts and view this life that was maybe like a running movie, you know? So, that's sort of where my interest naturally came from, but didn't realize the benefits of meditation until I got into my 20s when I finished my degree and I wanted to pursue my interests in running a restaurant because one of my passions is food. Awesome. I love sustainable food. I love entertaining. I love a good cocktail, you know, so I was like, hey, I'm going to create a restaurant. That's what I'm going to do. So at age of 22, I started Zula's Bar and Eating Place, which is in Burleigh. Awesome. On James Street. I had it for 17 years. And through that time, I really grew with a business mindset and expanded my business in catering and events and things. And with any business, as you know, there are times of stress, deep mm-hmm. anxiety. And there was a time where I suffered an incredible amount of anxiety. I might have been 24 years old and to the point where I wasn't able to really leave the house. I was flooded with fear, fear, limitations, and it really affected me as a person and my self-belief. And my dad and my parents both said to me, you know, Jasmine, it's like, why don't you go see a hypnotherapist? You know, you're not going crazy. It's just called stress. And I was like, a hypnotherapist? Never really thought about this before. So I went off and saw Dr. Ajit, and he said something very profound, and I still continue with the thought. He said, anxiety is an extension of your imagination. And then he put me through hypnosis, which I learned was just a deep meditation and a visual guide, assisted meditation, really. And it took me back to me being a 10-year-old. Again, you know, being that childlike imagination, bring that fun back in my life. I learned that business had just consumed me. People's thoughts, ideals, my pressures of where I was, financial, everything had just consumed me and I stopped having fun with my business. And at that point, it was my aha moment, like, aha, far out. This is, you know, I need to go back to what I naturally know how to do to create calm. So I went back to natural meditation. So I would go back to one of my three favorite locations, you know, which is bed, a hot shower or the beach. And I would just close my eyes and I would just daydream. And, from there I got out of my anxiety. I learned to talk to it, realize it's not real. So I named it and I visualized it. And eventually, now I'm 41 years old and I don't suffer from anxiety at all. I know how to manage it. And in 2013, just after I had my son, I decided that I was going to go and research hypnosis a little deeper, because I was very curious in how it helped me reprogram my thoughts, and that I was able to tell a new story. So I went ahead and researched and decided to study and train, not for purposes of business by no means. Sorry about that. But it was more so for myself on a personal level, for personal self-development. So I went to the course, and my meditation and hypnosis was getting deeper. I found myself doing audio my own thoughts and my own hypnosis on the phone, and then listening it back to myself. And I just could see a real change in my positivity, my ability to grow and strive and thrive as a mother, a wife, a business owner. And a lot of people say to me, you know, Jazz, you just, why are you so happy? Like, it can't be real. I've had people sort of suppress me and go, oh, you know, she talks too much, or she's always happy. There's a sense of fault. I had someone delete me off Facebook once because they were saying it was just too much. But the thing is that we are in control of how we feel.
Yeah.
100%. And once you learn to take control of it and own it and recognize the fears or the lies you tell yourself and convert it, well, then what have we got left with?
All the good stuff.
What are you left with? Yeah, all the good stuff. You realize that you're no longer the victim. You're just part of your own solution. So from there, the school I trained with offered me to do my master's and train the trainer. And I was like, heck yeah, let's give it a crack. And so I did my master's and trained the trainer, and now I'm a qualified master in clinical hypnosis in 4 different elements of hypnosis, and studied in NLP, cognitive behavioral therapy, sort of tapped into further of how the mindset works. And now I train others to become qualified hypnotherapists and use it in alongside what they do. I've trained midwives, I've trained dentists whose patients can't take local anesthetic doing dental work, so they put them into a state of hypnosis, and, you know, do their practices. I work with yoga teachers, clients as in habits, coming out of habits, as well as behavioral emotions. So yeah, I really enjoy what I do now.
So awesome.
Yeah. So that's my journey.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Because when traditionally, when someone thinks of, oh, a hypnotherapist, oh, they're going to make someone do something silly on a stage setting, you know, like that's often like there's a big entertainment side to it. But there are so many profound ways that hypnotherapy can work at a really superficial or a deep level, depending on what the person needs. I was hypnotized when I was over in Vanuatu last year by a friend of mine who is a clinical hypnotherapist, but she's also a dozen other things. But she saw that on the sailboat we were on, I was just so green. I was just like, oh, I don't deal well on boats. But it really wasn't that rough. It was like, literally, it was this psychosomatic response that I was like, oh my gosh, a boat, therefore I'm sick. And she hypnotized me. And since then, I've been on some really rough boats like this. And all I did was just close my eyes and focus on my breath, and I didn't vomit. I didn't get sick. I got tired, but I didn't get sick. So I was like, oh wow, it really, really worked. So it's interesting. But like, so she had said to me though, the thing with hypnosis is the person has to want to change. You agree?
Correct. Yes. So, if a client isn't ready after qualifying them, I don't take every client, sorry. So, they will come in, I'll qualify them, ask them a lot of range of questions of what they want to change and what it is. So I'm not a counselor.
Yeah.
So we don't talk about the issue. We talk about what triggers it and what they want to create change from it, which is what's so great about being a hypnotherapist, you know. We don't feed the story, we find a solution to the story. When people come in with habits, drug addiction, smoking, alcoholism, sex addiction, whatever it is, if they're not ready for change, they're not going to create the change. So I will just gently and kindly say, this is not your time.
Yeah.
We're not ready to work together. When you feel, you know, come back and see me in a couple of weeks when you've had some real thought to why you want to change, you know. Mm-hmm. Quite often I'll get smoking clients and it's because their parents had sent them. They're coming in, they're going to get like hypnotized and whatever, but they get a bit of a shock and I'm like, no, this is not your session.
Yes.
So I only work with people who are really wanting to create change, because then they're open subconsciously to create the change and understand the steps that they have to do themselves. You know, it's a repetitive story you tell yourself. So it's about re-changing the thought process of what you already know that doesn't serve your purpose anymore. Yeah. Because when you, you know, when you can extend your imagination and you demand it, you're in control of it, and then you have the power.
Totally.
And with hypnosis, really comes with trust and rapport. So I really get to know my clients and create a trust, and we can work together.
Mm. So good. And it sounds like one of my favorite things to say to people is, I want you to take epic self-responsibility. And it sounds like you're the same. Like, you can't walk in and expect for you to do the work for them. And it's still like, you can present the thing that they need to do, but they still have to do the thing. So if they're not ready to go on that journey, well, then it's not going to work unless they're ready to step forth on that journey.
Yeah, that's right. So we're just assisting them.
That's it.
So I have smoking clients, addicts, who have one session and that's it, because they're really wanting to, ready to make the change. They just needed someone to facilitate them to see what they had to do to change it.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, it is really rewarding. It is really good. I believe in hypnosis. It's been around since the early 1800s, you know, on paper since 1920. And it's a modality that's only becoming more and more awareness in the Western cultures. But there is no major difference between meditation and hypnosis. So we all understand the benefits of meditation. Hypnosis is just an assisted meditation.
Yeah.
It's an invited meditation. So for example, a session, you know, someone come in, once I qualify, I would write someone's hypnosis for them personally, embedding their words and their concepts of what they want to rechange and reprogram. So quite often you'll see people say, you know, oh, I can't afford that. I can't afford
that. Yeah, that's a common one.
I can't afford that. You know, it's a limitation, and it's probably a habit or a repetitive word that they've heard their parents say, you know. So what I do and I'm passionate about doing is allowing people to give themselves permission to receive.
Yeah.
Because we all give ourselves permission. There's a difference between permission and deserving. So deserving comes from a selfish place. It's like, I deserve that. I deserve that. Well, do you? What makes you deserve something? And that's our ownership. But if once we give ourselves permission, it's like, I give myself permission to be happy. I give myself permission to be wealthy. I give myself permission to be healthy.
Yeah.
I give myself permission to birth. Then the body only reacts to what the mind tells you to.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And so for some of these people, if it was a lifelong habit and they were ready to change, it could potentially be changed in one session. Or do most people need longer than that?
It just depends. And again, I let them make the decision themselves. So I don't force the session. I don't force what I do. I'll tell you, well, there is a client, patient, privacy, but without naming names, I met a guy who came to me, and he had a very severe drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And he was functioning corporate drug habit. And he was coming to the end, basically, you know, like his life was coming to the end. He was going to get a divorce and, you know, all of this. His family didn't know he was ever had a drug addiction. He came to see me through a referral. I'd seen one of his friends, and he came to me, and I sent him home, and I said, look, you're not ready for the change. If you're still driven by the ego or the victim feeling, opposed to like, oh yeah, I've hit rock bottom and I can't change. So anyway, he went away. I saw him back 6 weeks later. He contacted me, and we we went through everything. We went deep to the triggers of what created it. So I wasn't here to hear the stories, didn't feed the story, didn't allow them to tell me the emotions around it, just the emotion of what triggers it.
Yeah.
And with different modalities such as anchoring, NLP, CBT, all those sort of things, we had a session and it went for 2.5 hours. And he got to the core of it, and he's had an addiction for nearly over 30 years. 2 weeks later, he rang me and he said, "I'm doing just fine. I'm doing really well."
Wow.
I said, "Okay, cool. But your biggest pinnacle point is when something triggers it."
Yeah.
So he called me just before Christmas, and a trigger point was coming up, being family orientated and whatever. He called me and he said, "Look, fears are coming up." We had a little discussion over it, and long story short, 2 years completely clean, still in a happy relationship, and that's how big of an impact it can change.
Yeah, big deal.
It's massive. Yeah, and the thing is, I take very minimal credit for it. You know, like I just assisted someone who's ready for it, and I'm the person to listen to what they want in their life, and then help them, give them permission to create it. So it's always just the client. That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm. So cool. And so when you talk about these triggers, how does somebody, do they know what their triggers are, or do you help them find out what the triggers are?
Generally not. Most people don't know what their trigger is. It could be from childhood. We go through timeline. It could be past self-beliefs. It could be usually from past relationships or family's beliefs on them, you know. Yeah. Oh, you're a little chubby. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
You can't sing anyway. You know, smoking is generally the act of smoking, not the act of inhalation, deep breath exhalation, that most people are addicted to, not necessarily the smoke itself or the flavor or the nicotine.
Yeah.
So we work on, you know, their space of relaxation, or and work on them just stopping the habit. The nicotine addiction. Behavioral is a little bit more, takes more of a few sessions, because being a habit, you can start a habit, you can stop a habit as quick as you start a habit.
Yeah.
So when someone's ready to stop, they'll just stop. You know, hear just these stories of people who go, "Yeah, one day I just went cold turkey and I did," because they were ready. You know, some people can, some people can't.
Yeah.
But when it's behavioral, like they've got a behavior that they're a word patterning, it can take a couple of sessions, because that they've embedded that in their subconscious themselves or from somewhere else. So it can take a few sessions. I don't do any more than 5 sessions with a client, because if they do 5, it's just more than 5. It means like the work we're doing is not clear, and they're using me as their device to, they're relying on me more so than relying on themselves to change. So I never take on more than 5 sessions. Generally, most clients only see me for 3.
Yeah, amazing. And then they'll call
me for a maintenance or work on a something else in their life, you know. I have athletes who come and see me and break their self-sabotages. That's one of the biggest topics that we work on, is self-sabotage.
Yeah.
And then they'll come back and, you know, say they've really kicked goals and now they want to get to the next level of, you know, so then we keep enhancing. So I do get a lot of repeat clients, not based on what the original issue was, but to do,
take to the work next on step.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, because really we are the product of what we are. And if we can make the most of what we have and then keep building upon that, that's where you know, this can be like the ultimate modality to fit in with that. So that, I really love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's got a genius space. You know, my business is called Smile, You're a Genius, because I believe everyone has a genius state. Everyone is a genius. They just got to find their genius in them.
That's it.
You know, and all of it matters and all of it is okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I help people find their genius state through my sessions.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's really good. Yeah. Yeah, finding that optimum, you know, life.
That's basically it. That's
it's a good feeling, good vibration, you know. Like, people are afraid of hypnotherapy. When I say to people, you know, alongside what I do, I'm a hypnotherapist, they're like, "Oh, you know, you're going to make me cluck like a chicken."
That's it. That's like, so what they say.
You know, Like, that's, you know, because that's what their concept and idea is. I'm like, well, if you want to, I can. If you want to do this, let's do it. They're like, oh, God. They go, oh, you know, the other one's like, oh, I can't be hypnotized. And I was like, well, how do you know? Have you tried? They're like, no, but I know that I can't. I overthink too much and I do this. And they kept finding all these amazing reasons, you know. And I'm like, have you ever driven from A to B and gone, how did I get there?
Totally.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, that's being in a hypnotic state.
Yeah.
Have you ever walked in the middle of the night with all the lights off, but you still know where your light switches are, where the toilet is? Yeah. And I was like, you've hypnotically trained yourself to know where things are. We live 70% of our life, or we should live 70% of our mindset in a subconscious hypnotic state. It's our place of learning. And then once we learn something, we put it in our conscious cup. When your conscious cup, it's like what allows you to ride a bike after so many years, because your body has trained itself to do it. So when the conscious cup gets too full and the scales change, that's what causes depression, mental illness. So we have to stay in a, it's safer to be in a subconscious state.
I like that.
Yeah, stay, you know, focused, alert, but you learn. Yeah, studies have shown that kids who learn subconsciously, I mean, for example, this is a perfect example, watching TV. You can't remember what you did that day, but you'll remember what you just saw on TV, a TV ad, a jingle, because you're sitting there relaxing in a very relaxed space. Unwinding is what most people watch TV, and they're letting their subconscious receive the information.
Yeah.
But someone goes to you, what did you do today? You're like, oh.
All the things.
Because you're living consciously. You have to think consciously. So, yeah, it's quite fascinating. So when there's a Harvard University study where they did they trialed it, and kids who were in a relaxed, you know, beta state, their information was it was better received than someone who was trying to be conscious, because the mind's overactive, trying to do more than one thing at a time, writing, listening, you know, adapting. Whereas,
it makes
it's a nice place. It's safe.
It is.
Yeah, I know. It's a trip when people go, oh, I'm too scared of it. I'm like, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
You're in control.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one cool thing I really try and explain to people, is because they think that, oh, they're not going to be in control. Can I just say, nobody in this world has control over you.
Totally.
Nobody. You know, like, never ever think, if you think that someone has ability to have control of you, you need a hypnosis session, because that is allowing a lot of fears to filter in.
Yeah.
Because no one has the power to tell you what to do, what you don't want to do. So, just always, it's really important for people to know that.
Absolutely. Love that. Love it. Now, Jasmine, can you please let everyone know what you've got coming up?
Yeah. So I am doing a training session in October in Currumbin Valley, and it'll be a 3-day intensive where I can train you to be a hypnotherapist.
Very cool.
You can go your own business. You can go under the umbrella of Smiley or a Genius. I'm currently in the place of building offices and clinics between Brisbane, Byron, Gold Coast, New Zealand, and would love to train therapists to go in and filter in and see clients. I teach them my methods, whether you, like I said, if you want to do any form of hypnosis or deep meditation, I can accredit you. So that's running on October. The date is to be confirmed, but I'm thinking it's somewhere October. Just look at my calendar quickly. I'm aiming for October 20th was my first original.
Cool.
No, October 18th, 19th, and the 20th.
18th to 20th.
That's my original date. It is an intensive, very interactive course.
Yeah.
Because the best way to learn is to practice.
Yes.
So we need even numbers.
That's it.
You know, and then you have a 3-month period to do your written and theory exam, and then that just gets marked and checked, and you get to write your own meditations. I've written well over 300 meditations and hypnosis scripts just in the last few years. I plan to run a meditation for the ocean. I have a big love and passion for, and I actually just met this beautiful woman recently, and she's in Crumbin too, and she does prayers for the ocean, and it really resonated with me. So we have to thank our earth and our land.
Yes.
So I like to run a meditation during that next year, February.
Awesome.
But also, you know, anyone can come see me at Smile, You're a Genius, which I'm like head in Burley. And I would be happy, anyone who came out of this, listening to this podcast, to give them a free qualifying session. And yeah, a nice discounted rate for them too, if they'd like to qualify and continue to create any changes. You know, there's not a change that's big or small. Some people just come to me and change, tweak just the way they perceive themselves.
Yeah.
Or a relationship. I do couples as well.
Great.
On word patterning.
Awesome.
Not marriage counselling, but just the way they see each other.
Yeah, so good.
Reconnecting with that love. So
yeah,
that's what's coming. But the first thing is in October. But otherwise, yeah, happy to take on any clients if they mentioned you and give them a free introduction plus a hypnosis session. So most sessions last, I always say keep an hour and a half free because I don't put a time on my sessions. But an hour and a half, we usually get through a lot.
Yeah.
But if we go over, well, that's just what happens, because I won't let a client go until we've hit a pinnacle moment where they go, okay, I got that.
Yeah.
So I'd say about an hour and a half is always good.
But sounds awesome. And Jasmine, do you work with anyone online, or it's face-to-face only?
Yeah, I have worked online previously because I do have clients that fly in, fly out, who are interstate, and all I ask them to do is put their headphones on.
Yeah.
Lie sitting up, like lie in bed or a recliner or a chair.
Yeah.
Sitting up, very comfortable space, a little blanket over the knees, and headphones on.
Yeah.
Quite surroundings, and I take them through their session.
Perfect.
That way too. So then I tell them how to put themselves into self-hypnosis. So that's another thing that when I get clients reoccurring to see me, is about helping them become independent. So I will teach you how to do self-hypnosis.
Amazing.
And that might be by staring at the ceiling, doing left-right nostril breathing, ahimsic breath. A lot of yogis do that. Just triggers the left brain and the right brain.
Yeah.
Staring at the ceiling, counting down. 100, 99. 98, flowing with the breath, listening to the sound of my voice. Any sound you hear is the sound of my voice, and then allowing that person to go into trance.
Yeah.
And then eventually they'll close their eyes, and we'll go through the testing period of how relaxed and how deep they are, and they'll have a really nice session. And generally I'll just hang up the phone, and they'll either stay rested, fall asleep until their time is to get back up.
Yeah, nice.
It's very, very safe.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds amazing. It's just what the world needs, is to be more.
Don't be afraid of your hypnotherapist.
Yeah, totally not. Totally not. Yeah, yeah, definitely. So I'll make sure that I put your details in the show notes so that people can get in touch with you, because let's face it, the amount of stress and anxiety and all the different traumas that everyone carries around is huge. And we often need a facilitator to help us tune into what it is that is true for us, rather than all the stories we kind of paint on all the years.
Yeah, live a life without fear, lies, and negativity, you know?
Yeah.
The truth is in within you. As hypnotherapists, we just sort of, like I said, give permission for you to know it,
yeah,
own it. People are really happy. They've been conditioned.
Totally.
So, yeah, let's bring more smiles and happiness into this world is my aim.
Yeah.
My goal. I'm not here to inspire anyone. I'm not what you call inspirational, but I'm definitely here to empower and educate.
Love it. Thanks so much, Jasmine. I love your work. And thank you so much for coming on today, letting me interview you.
It's a blessing. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And I hope you've all enjoyed this episode. I will see you on the next one.